Yeah, Chuck Pagano was hired really almost this time in 2012, late in January. He was hired, has a record of 56-46 as a head coach for the Indianapolis Colts, 3-3 in the playoffs. And really, that record isn't indicative of his beginning 3 years here. When you talk about those first 3 years here, that was some good football in Indianapolis, really where the fan base got spoiled by how good football can be for fan bases. And then after those seasons, it really just went downhill. And we talked about it. There's some tough losses that the Colts went through that led to this decision.
Yeah, and I think when it's all said and done, the Chuck Pagano era will be looked back upon very favorably.
Yeah.
Primarily because of the first 3 years, the 33-15 record. You advance a step further in the playoffs every single year, ultimately getting to the 2014 season AFC Championship game. But like you said, Caroline, it was a downhill slope after that, primarily because of injuries. The biggest one to Andrew Luck, where he went out with a variety of different things. The shoulder bothered him, and then, of course, didn't play all of the 2017 season. And it just goes to show, when you don't have a starting franchise quarterback on your team, a guy that potentially masks a lot of deficiencies on your roster over the last couple of years, these things start to come to the forefront. But that being said, I do want to say that I was very impressed with how the team played for Chuck each and every single game, not only this year, but the previous 5 years. Those guys always brought it. Effort and intensity was never really a problem under Chuck, and I know that's sort of the minimum thing right. You should say about professional athletes, but they really did always want to run through a brick wall for Chuck Pagano. And some of the second half meltdowns, I mean, if those don't occur, or maybe you convert five of those seven second half leads that you had into wins, you're looking at a 9-win team this year for the Colts, and a team that's going to go to the playoffs. So right now, I mean, you're looking back on things, it's what could have been, what maybe could have been for the Colts, but that's sort of a 2020 revisionist history type of thing. The Colts are what they are. They are a 4-12 team, and a team that right now is looking for a new coach.
Yeah, Henry Anderson, I thought he said it best. He said there are some things that maybe you can blame Chuck Pagano for, but getting his team ready, getting them motivated, getting them just emotionally prepared for games is not one of those. Let's take a quick overview of just kind of Chuck Pagano. I mentioned it. He got the job in January of 2012. He had that 56-46 record in Indianapolis, 3-3 in the playoffs, and that AFC Championship appearance is one of those games that, when you talk about the tough losses, is against New England, couldn't beat New England. And it's really that New England and Pittsburgh are the two teams that it just seemed like Coach Pagano couldn't quite get over. And when you talk about trying to get this organization back to the days of where the 2000s, where you're playing for a Super Bowl, those are the games that it doesn't matter if you have those 11 wins. If you're not progressing through the playoffs, that's also something that can get you fired.
Right. You know, that old adage, you have to beat the best to be the best. And to your point, Caroline, the Colts were a combined 0-8 against New England and Pittsburgh. They lost by an average of 24 points per game to the Steelers, an average of 23 points per game to the Patriots, and none bigger than that AFC Championship game. That was the deflate game and sort of the beginning of the end for the Colts under Chuck Pagano. And I'd also, too, like to mention those two Houston games late in the season at Lucas Oil Stadium, those December games against the Texans, where they came in here and beat the Colts for really what was the AFC South Championship, and forcing the Colts to miss out on the playoffs in 2015 and 16. You lump those big type of games into Chuck Pagano's resume, it just kind of all factors into why maybe the Colts thought that a new guy needs to come in here to take the Colts to new heights.
Yeah, we talked about some of the tough losses, but a lot of them happened this year in 2017. Obviously, a rough year for Colts fans. The Colts blew 7 halftime leads. They blew 5 fourth quarter leads, and they were outscored 233-115 after halftime. A heartbreaking season. Matey, I know a lot of times we kind of look at each other after the game and be like, I just never felt good about this. Even when you had the lead at halftime, the Colts just couldn't seem to put four quarters of football together. And every time I talked to Coach Pagano going into games, we always did the three things piece before the game. Every single time it was finish. Yeah. And he was like, if I knew exactly how to get it done, of course we would be doing that. We would be finishing games, but that not being able to happen for the Colts this year, although really for the first time all season against Houston in that second half. They shut Houston out, and they were able to put 15 points on the board in the second half, something you hadn't seen this season.
Yeah, no, this season could be, maybe be defined as the what could have been, what should have been type of year for the Colts. I mean, the fourth quarter woes, the Colts all season long, including yesterday against the Texans, only had 10 fourth quarter touchdowns all year, and I think they scored like 42 points all year in the fourth quarter. It was their inability to sustain drives in the second half and their inability to primarily convert inside the red zone. The Colts were the last red zone offensive efficiency team in the NFL. That was a big reason why they just couldn't convert these close games into wins more often than not. And that's going to be one of the focal points. I know a lot of it maybe has to do with Andrew Luck, and you know, you point to some of those games. Well, if Luck's in there, you know, hey, we feel good about it. We, you know, we definitely get 3 points, or we cash in seven there. That's going to be a big if in the offseason, which I'm sure we'll get to. You know, with Andrew Luck's health in mind, what's the direction of this team, knowing you got a lot of money in free agency, and you have a top three pick in seven rounds in the draft.
Yeah, and that really is, when you look at Coach Pagano's record here those first three seasons, everything seemed great. You had health, you had all these things, and then the injuries start. You're having to plug guys in that maybe you don't want to be plugging in. You're having to get the quarterback in. I mean, so many things, but Coach Pagano is always one to address in press conferences, look, it's a next man up. This is the game of football. There's 100% that guys are going to get injured. So that's when the coaching comes in. You start trying to plug some guys in. So that really one of the unfortunate things that happened in Coach Pagano's time here. But let's kind of talk about how we got here a little bit. Okay, when Coach Pagano took over, the AFC South looked much, much different than it does this year. I think if you would have asked anyone in that time, do you think Jacksonville Jaguars would be at the top? Do you think the Houston Texans and the Colts would not be playing for it at the end of December? I don't know if anyone would have necessarily agreed with you, but like the NFL, that cycles around. You take a look, the Colts and Coach Pagano won 16 consecutive wins against AFC South opponents. And then in the last 15 games in the AFC South opponents, the Colts are just 6-9. I mean, that really tells the story. Yes, we talk about the injuries. Yes, we talk about all these things. But winning your division and getting to the playoffs is always, always, always the end goal.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you look at those teams right now in the AFC South. The Texans are going to be back next year in 2018 as playoff contenders with Deshaun Watson and company. They may be like the Colts are the most decimated team in the NFL, right? I mean, so many guys on IR, not to make more excuses for Chuck Pagano, but, you know, he kind of joked it was Groundhog's Day. You know, every single week we were putting another key guy on IR, 18 guys in total this year, and most of them, 12 of them, in fact, were starters or key players as far as playing time is concerned. But yeah, those teams in the playoffs right now, you've got both Jacksonville and Tennessee. It looks like they have staying power. You know, I mean, Blake Bortles had the best year of his career. That defense down in Jacksonville is ridiculous. You look at kind of the up and down year that Marcus Mariota had. He looks to have some staying power. I know they kind of had a tumultuous end to their season, but they still got in the playoffs. So they are going to be formidable for years to come. And now it's up to the Colts. You know, for years we said those teams are trying to keep pace with the Colts. Now it's the other way around as the Colts finish one game out of last place in the AFC South.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you're just joining us, you didn't catch us off the top. We are waiting to hear from Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay as the end of the year has come. They're going to talk about this past season, but also the big news that Chuck Pagano is no longer the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Kind of your little pregame show here. Matt Taylor, Caroline Cann, kind of running you through the facts of, you know, maybe what led here and what you can expect to hear from Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard. Let's go through really the most inspirational story in the NFL. Maybe it's more inspirational to me because I actually got to know Chuck Pagano. But that 2012 season is something that everyone will remember. It continues to be here in Indianapolis such a big deal. In 2012, Chuck Pagano was diagnosed with leukemia. And that was just months into being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, months of being a resident in Indiana. The community rallied around him, did exactly what Hoosiers do, and were able to rally that team under Bruce Arians, who actually retired today. Another little bit of NFL news, but able to rally around, get 11 wins that season. And from that, Chuck Pagano formed the Chuck Strong Foundation and raised almost $5 million for cancer research. That season alone stands as like I said, what I think is one of the most inspirational stories. If you go back and watch videos, it's chills.
Absolutely. And that was my first year, if I could tell a little bit of a story.
Love it.
That was my first year with the Colts, 2012, and I was 3 or 4 weeks on the job, kind of just as long as Chuck was as far as the regular season was concerned. And I think the Colts had a really early bye that year. It was either like week 4 or 5. And the Monday of the bye week, the entire office, the entire building got called into the pavilion. And nobody really knew what was going on. And then rumors were swirling around that Chuck was ill. And then we came to find out that he was dealing with cancer. And it was like a huge shock, a huge blow for everybody. Even me, a person that had known Chuck for just a couple of months, it kind of hit home and it was a big time reality check. And then from that point out, or from that point forward, the team kind of just bonded together even more so than they already had. I think basically 90% of the guys inside the locker room shaved their heads. I remember that Jacksonville game on Thursday night. They won and the entire team did a interview with the NFL Network and everybody had a shaved head. Chuck is a great humanitarian and a great ambassador for that disease, that illness that we all go through. We all know somebody that's dealing with cancer. And so to be able to raise in 5 years almost $5 million is just unbelievable. And no one is debating on how good of a guy Chuck Pagano is. He is a great person. Like I said yesterday, he knows every single person's name inside the building. Oh, yeah. I mean, down to the lowest guy in the totem pole like me, right?
he knows Matt too.
Absolutely. I mean, every single year on my birthday, he would send me an email wishing me a happy birthday. He doesn't have to do that,
right.
But he's self-deprecating. He's fun. He was easy to work with in terms of media and radio things that I dealt with. So he will be missed from that standpoint. But 2018 is all about turning the page and hoping for better days to come for the Colts and getting back to the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was a lot of players said that in the locker room. You know, you're talking to Andrew Luck, Henry Anderson, Darius Butler, T.Y. Hilton, all the big names on this roster, and they're all saying how much they owe to Chuck Pagano. And this is a guy who, this is Andrew Luck's only coach. You know, a lot of these guys only coach in the NFL, and how much he's done for them to get them ready, to get them prepared each week, and just to learn the NFL. So, of course, big news that Chuck Pagano is no longer the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, and we are shortly going to hear from team owner Jim Irsay and general manager Chris Ballard. So hang tight with us. But while we're there, we're going to show you a little pieces that we put together here of Chuck Pagano's time here in Indianapolis and the victory speech from last night's game in Houston.
In the end, it's all good. And if it's not, it's not the end. Never been more proud. Group of men, coaches. If I never coached another day, another down, I'm good. Because of you guys. The sky is the limit for you. The sky is the limit. You never quit. You never gave up. Through all the adversity, the disappointment, you just keep coming back, come back, and come back, and work. You represented yourself in the horseshoe. The Irsay family, with dignity and class and determination. Never seen anything like it. Hearts of Lions, Warriors. I could go on and on and on. Never been so damn proud. I believe in every one of you. I believe in every one of you coaches. I believe in every man in this room. You believe in yourself. As long as you'll continue to fight and pick yourself up when it's hard and you fight, you'll always be winners. We fell short a lot, but not today. Not today. I hope you all feel as good as I feel right now.
guys, we all want to give this to our coach for this victory today. We wish our season wasn't ending and that we were still going on. But this man here has kept you guys fighting every time. And I've been around this game for 50 years, and that's a rare thing. You guys fight for him because he's special. We follow him because he's special. Chuck, we love you, and this is just to really just to talk about how tough it was this year, because we know we were so close to winning some close ones that could have changed some things. We didn't get it done, but you kept us coming back and getting these guys ready to fight and to compete every week and never crumbling. Right down to the very last second of the end of this year, of week 17, and getting this victory because of him. Because he is a man that we would follow through any fire, through any falling concrete, stone, anything. He's our leader. And he's a true man. And the love I have for him, I can't tell you. And please, Coach, accept this from all of us, from every player, coach, and everyone in our organization, because thank you. The Colts never lost their pride and lost their aspect of wanting to fight and win all year long through all the damn injuries and all the difficulties we had. I love you to death, brother.
Emotional locker room after the game in Houston, or against Houston, and really, Mate, I was so excited for this team to go out with a win. Yeah. It was super important. The Texans are dealing with a lot of injuries, just like the Colts are, but to win at home in front of the Colts fan base and leave that season on a high note was such a great thing, and to see a locker room that could celebrate.
Yeah, very cool to see Chuck Pagano go out on some sort of a high note, like you said, getting that game ball, and he can kind of close the book on his Colts chapter and feel good about that win yesterday. And Jim Irsay was exactly right. Those guys, like I said earlier, never quit on Chuck Pagano, never quit on this season, never stopped believing that they could go out and beat whomever was on the schedule that particular day. And again, I know that should be the minimum requirement for professional athletes, but it's 2017, Caroline. There's a lot of divas out there playing professional sports. You don't always see that. And Chuck Pagano usually got the best out of his group, and they always played hard for him. So, they did right by Chuck yesterday. They also did right by giving him that game ball and letting him feel good about his time with the Colts and sending him out kind of the right way. Normally, guys get let go, coaches get fired, and then you never hear from them again. I don't think that's going to be the case with Chuck. I think both kind of knew what was going on. I mean, let's live in the real world here, right? I mean, there was rumors and speculation going on
for weeks,
all season long, it seemed like. And Chuck seemed like he knew what his fate was, maybe at the halfway point in this season. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. We're going to hear from Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard here momentarily. But like I said, the Chuck Pagano era, I think, is going to look back. We're going to look back on it, and we're going to smile because he did some really good things here.
Yeah, Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay on their way to the press room right now. And really, it has been an emotional time. This is an emotional time in the NFL just in general. But we are going to head to the press room right now to see Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard. Actually, we may be waiting just a little bit. We're trying to time this up perfectly for you, keep you entertained for the entire time here.
It's like the 4th of July fireworks.
I know, we're trying here. We're trying to make
sync
this
up the music.
Yeah, just right. But it is. It's a crazy time. I think you mentioned it. There's six of them. We're heading to the press room right now.
Guys, how are you doing? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Well,
it's good to be here on January 1st, we wish we were talking about a playoff game instead of some of the other subject matters, but we're happy to be here. I'm really excited about where we're headed and the direction that we're going. I couldn't be more excited in terms of just, when I have had a chance to work with Chris and see what type of general manager the Colts have. It's something that reinforces the hire that was made that's going to be great for the Indianapolis Colts, no question about it. And I also, as tough as it's been going through the process with Andrew and the shoulder, talking with him and seeing the progress that he's made and where he's at mentally, physically, emotionally, all places. It's really exciting. It really is. Obviously not thrilled about having such a high draft pick, but the fact that we have it is unusual. It's unusual that franchises don't pick in the top five hardly ever, and unusual that even letting a coach go that had only one losing season out of six. But that's the type of expectation that is set around here for the Colts. And so, to me, when I really look at going into 2018, I couldn't be more excited about the direction that we're going to be headed. I just thank Chuck Pagano immensely. He's a dear friend. It was a difficult emotional conversation that we had at the stadium last night after the game. But as usual, he was first class as ever, and just will always treasure the memories, the friendships, the great victories that we shared together. I'm telling you, just some of the greatest ever. Just, the Kansas City home playoff win, the Denver on the road win, being in the championship game so soon after inheriting a roster that had aged and changed so much. And of course, him overcoming cancer and becoming healthy and all those sorts of things. Bruce Arians coming in and being born as a head coach and a playoff winning coach. So much had occurred through the Chuck Pagano era, and couldn't be more thankful about that. But here we sit, and we're moving forward. I've heard it been mentioned by a few guys. The process is the same as it's been, for, close to 40 years in terms of hiring the head coach. My philosophy's always been the general manager is head of all football operations. The general manager is in charge of leading the search, bringing in candidates, eventually bringing the owner, me, the best candidate or two or three, depending the case, and making his recommendations or her recommendations, and I can't think of any time. In fact, I'm sure I can't. There hasn't been a time where I haven't followed the recommendations of what the general manager had recommended to me. And like I said, if it was something that I thought was this is really problematic, can't do it, that would have to be a rare situation. But like I said, that's the way it works, guys. Is that Chris is going to go out, do a lot of the heavy lifting. I'm going to meet the top candidates, obviously know a lot of all the candidates that are out there, both in college and in the pros. And so we're going to end up getting a great, new, exciting head coach. This is going to be something special. I remember talking to everyone back in 98, 97 about, where we have a chance to be going. We're going back there, and we're going, you guys will hold me to it until we get there, I know, and say, well, you said we're going back there, we're not there yet, meaning what is there? That's, world champions. And chugging down that parade line, and the throw today would be a very cold parade, but I'd love it. That's where we're going, guys. I can promise you that. There is no doubt in my mind where we're headed, and I have immense confidence in that. And so again, want to thank Chuck Pagano. Going to turn it over to Chris and let him talk about his vision, about his planning on going forward on this search. And I just say to Colts fans everywhere, you should be very excited because it is going to be exciting. Andrew Luck is going to be back. And I mean back with a fierce fire in his eyes, I promise you. And we are going to be doing some really special things. And there's going to be a special guy at number three if we end up picking there. And so I couldn't be more excited. And at that, Chris, I'll let you take it from there, buddy.
Yeah, definitely want to thank Chuck and his staff. Just true professionals all year. No excuses with all the injuries, with Andrew being out. They never once made an excuse. They never once complained. They were easy to work with and was a great group to work with and very fond of Chuck. We got very close over this year. And he's a good man. He's a good football coach. And he's going to have success going forward, whatever direction he decides to go. In terms of... One of the things I was really proud of, because I talked to the team today, and I made some comments to them about, expectations going forward. And we were going to find a head coach who could lead them and a staff that would develop them. And the one great thing that we did this year is we never lost the locker room. Chuck did a really good job and that staff of keeping the locker room. And look, our players did a great job of never once losing focus when it would have been easy to do it. It would have been easy to tank it in, when we went on that losing streak. It would have been easy to not show up, but they showed up every week, and that's a credit to them. The one thing that we do, you can't, without a great locker room, it's hard to win in this league. I know I've talked to you all about this a few times. It's very difficult to win when the locker room's not driving the train and holding each other accountable. One of the things I told him today, I said, look, when you tolerate anything that gets in the way of winning, that puts you at fault too. So we've got to have high standards, and it's got to be held throughout the locker room. And I think we will. I think we got a good group. I think we got a young group of guys. Look, we went from being one of the oldest teams in the league to one of the youngest teams in the league in a year. That's not easy to do. So we had a lot of inexperienced guys, but they learned and they grew as the season went on. As for the head coaching search, we will look, guys. I mean, look, I know you're all going to want information. There's a lot of job openings. We're going to keep everything we do internal, including who we're interviewing. We're going to keep all that, you know, in-house. It's going to be a wide open search. Is resume important? Yes, but I think there's many instances through history that coaches have been hired from places that didn't 8-8 teams. I know Mike Tomlin. I think they were 8-8 when Pittsburgh hired him from Minnesota. I think Mike McCarthy was hired, and they were 2-14 in San Francisco when Green Bay hired him as the head coach. We're going to get the right fit for the Indianapolis Colts. We have a great organization. We have a lot to sell, and this is going to be a great place. We're going to do a lot of great things going forward. Time's yours.
Chris, what are some of the characteristics that you're going to be looking for in a new head coach, and what is previous NFL head coaching experience requirement?
The previous head coaching experience is not a – that's not a requirement. I mean, look, the change, though, when you hire an inexperienced head coach, somebody that's never done it before, you know, they've got to have a presence. They've got to be able to lead the room. They've got to – and if they're not on their side of the ball where they're an expert, you know, they've got to be able to hire a first-class teaching – a staff that can teach and develop players. I mean, that's what we're going to be about. We're going to be about teaching and developing players. And you got to live through some bumps when you do that. But I think that's very important. So you want a staff full of teachers that can develop not only players but develop men. And that's what we're on the look for.
Did you guys look in the college ranks too, Chris, when you say?
All of it's open. Yeah, everything's open.
Joe, what ultimately led to your decision to make a move and change your head coach?
Well, I think that, again, Chris and I began the conversation as soon as he was hired a year ago. And it wasn't obviously any big secret that we were going to be evaluating Chuck. And of course, the goal was continuity, and the hope was to be able to have him remain the head coach, you know, add support around him through assistants, through other coordinators, what have you, and go forward with a strengthened roster that Chris would be able to give him, be it the fact that, you know, there's only so much time that you have in 11 or 12 months. But, you know, that was the hope. And so I think in the end that it really came right up until, that game coming to an end Sunday late afternoon. Chris and I looking each other in the eye for the last time for 15 or 20 minutes, you know, just being sure that we were very thorough in how we evaluated everything. And as tough as it was in terms of letting such a good man go, the decision was made then. So really, it was something that I think we were leaning towards making a change as the season went on. Obviously, you know, the first Jacksonville game in particular left a little bit of a disappointment. But let me say this. We up a lot of games, up at halftime, double-digit leads at times. I forget what the record was at one point. It's 7-4 or something going into the second half that we were in the lead or what have you. And so I think you have to give, as Chris said, Chuck, a lot of credit for doing an excellent job. But in the end,
we felt that it was something that we needed to make a change, and so we did.
Chris, any chance you could make a hire this week, or are there
certain candidates in the playoffs that you're simply going to wait for?
Well, we're going to take our time, and we're going to make sure. I think it's one of the good things that a lot of great teams do in this league is they take their time. You want to make sure it's the right fit. I mean, we want a partner. And, look, the head coach-GM relationship is one of the most important things for the success of this franchise. So we want to make sure we get the right fit for this organization.
Chris, as this plays out, what will separate the next head coach of this team from a bunch of good candidates in your mind? Is there something that will separate them?
You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be my years of experience, Mr. Irsay's years of experience in football, and you got a gut feel of when it's the right guy. I think the longer you spend with people, the more time you spend, the better you get to know them. You get a pretty good feel of who that person is and if he's a good fit, and you can have a good working relationship. Look, is there going to be banter and disagreements? Absolutely. You want that. If we're all agreeing, then something's wrong. But you got to be able to both. When you end up making a decision, we're moving forward, and it's all about the team.
Is it fair to say that, I mean, you guys didn't show up at the stadium last night and just decided to make a coaching change, so you sort of had this on your mind. Do you have in your mind a short list, have you been thinking about the of names of guys you'd like to really pursue?
I think anytime you're a GM, if you don't have a list of names and if you're not keeping track of all coaches, all good coaches, then you're not doing your job. You just don't know. I mean, we could win the Super Bowl and the coach decides to retire, and you better be prepared. So that's, look, from a young age, I was taught when I go on the road and scout, I'm not only scouting players, we're scouting coaches too. So you always have a running list of the up-and-coming coaches going forward and guys you liked and you thought would be a good fit with you.
With your assistant coaches on staff, are they allowed to look for other jobs? What are your plans with them?
Yeah, we're currently evaluating that. And we'll let the new head coach make some decisions when he gets here.
Do you have a preference?
Leaning offense, defense, head coach?
No, not at all. They're all open.
We talked about Andrew a little bit already, but, I mean, he's obviously a huge piece of what you guys are doing here. How much of maximizing Andrew's abilities and that sort of thing will be a part of this decision, if at all? I don't know.
To me, I want somebody that wants to come to the Indianapolis Colts. I don't want them to come here just for Andrew Luck. I want somebody who wants to build something special and build a team that's special. And, you know, if a candidate's coming here just for Andrew, then he's probably not going to be the right fit.
On that note, this question's for both of you. Do you believe the uncertainty that surrounds Andrew's arm will give some candidates pause about coming here?
Not the right fit. Not the right guy. If he has pause, he's not the right guy.
Should anybody have pause?
No.
Jim, a good candidate will have a lot of opportunities. What makes this job the attractive job that can lure the top guy here?
Again, I you know, it's a good question asked. Andrew just makes it that much more special and enticing because, you know, he's coming back, you know, and he's coming back, but putting that aside, the great fan base we have, the great tradition we have, the incredible stadium that we have, we've accomplished things here that have been just absolutely just remarkable. And I'm not just talking about, you know, obviously we know the Peyton Manning accomplishments, you know, that's a given. But putting that aside, I mean, I don't think anyone here quite really understands what happened in 2012. I don't think anyone can really get their arms around how absolutely incredible 2012 was. I mean, yeah, you had an Executive of the Year award given out, you know, to a guy who was eventually fired, you know, and those kind of things happen, you know, and so there was acknowledgement of that. But Bruce Arians coming in, being, again, recognized as an outstanding head coach and given the chance and doing what he did for us fighting for Chuck. I mean, look at the Green Bay game. My God, I mean, you know, just it was incredible. What it was almost like a movie. So I guess, you know, look, you come around the horseshoe, you're coming around something special. And this guy here, you know, talked to my friend Bill in New England and brought in a heck of a young quarterback. He really is a guy who didn't even have a chance to learn our offense. Got thrown in there and that sort of thing and really did some special things. And the commitment we have to winning, the solidness of what we're about as an organization. My belief is this is something, you know, that's going to last and should last for decades and decades, and players will come and go, names will change, but it's a special place to be. I believe it, and I'm thankful that you know, Chris acknowledged to me. He said, Jim, I wanted to be in Indianapolis. I wanted to come to the Colts because of the Colts, you know. Not because of any one person or Peyton Manning or anyone else, but just because I wanted to. That's what I think of the organization. So the people are going to be excited about coming here and having a chance to get this job. But I want to tell you one thing right now. You guys don't know the fire that's burning in number 12's eyes. You guys don't know what type of fever he has for success right now. I mean, it's 107 degree fever towards success right now. The intensity he has, and you put him on that field, healed up, and all of a sudden you put a Edgerrin James type of player, maybe with, you know, that's bigger, faster, and stronger, let this man continue to do the job that he's already begun to do. This is going to be a special place to be and a special place to play. I think it's going to be exciting to see exactly. You know, what fit we get and what individual can come in to make us great. Ideally, we'd love to have someone, you know, that we can go on for you know, 12, 14 years with and have a long-term success with. But as Chris said, it doesn't eliminate anyone. If we see someone that doesn't have a ton of gas left in the tank, so to speak, but is ready to coach us up to a championship, so be it. It could be him. So I know Chris is going to look at every possibility, and it's going to be a very enticing job to take.
Jim, I know you're an optimist.
We all know you're an optimist. But you're optimistic about Luck playing this year, and it never happened. And now you're saying he'll be back, fever and all that, whatever. At some point, don't you have to be realistic and say, maybe not? I mean, you're kind of like tunnel vision on something that you haven't been right yet.
You know, you're right, Greg. I mean, obviously, I'm not. I don't have superpowers. I can't, you know, see through, you know, concrete walls, or I won't get my cape out and fly away and say wave goodbyes. I'm going home to you guys. But I can say this is from a half a century of being around this thing, and from knowing how in medicine, you know, it's an art, not a science, and that look at, you know, the surgery went great, okay? There was, quote unquote, no snags or anything that we didn't know about or that sort of thing. It's just one of those things that is, you know, taking a little longer than we thought that it would. And in terms of looking at the success of the surgery and just looking at where Andrew's coming from. When I made the comment about that 3 or 4 inch playing field between your ears, you know, hell, I was talking about myself. I mean, I used to run 26-mile marathons. One time I had a bad hip injury with 6 weeks to go. I was tormented. I didn't know if I train, I could hurt myself and not be ready at the starting line. If I don't train, then, I could fall out of shape. What do I do? It was tough. We all go through it. You know, I obviously am not an elite athlete, and I don't get paid. I'm not a professional athlete. But, look at what he's been through. Has been very difficult. I wouldn't say it. Look, I'm not trying to sell something, Greg, that I don't believe in. I'm really not. As Chris said, this horseshoe's bigger than us all, and it will prevail. The horseshoe will prevail without me, without Andrew, without Chris, without whoever. You know, it's bigger than us all. I'd like to think, you know, the sort of way we've built it and our belief system here enables us to go on. But I do believe that from talking to the doctors, from talking to Andrew, that there is no question that he can come back, that my optimism was absolutely genuine. It was completely warranted. One of the finest, if not the finest, shoulder doctor in the world said, you know, the surgery went, you know, outstanding, and things look, you know, really good, and there was no setbacks, etc. However, you know, each case is different. Again, art, not science, and it took longer for the shoulder to heal. That's just as simple as it can be. So, you know, when you talk about me being an optimist, I am, but I'm a realist too. Look, I'm going to look you in the eye. I mean, if we have something tough to talk about, I'm going to talk about it right on. I mean, I'm not going to BS someone. I'm not going to BS my fans. I'm not going to BS you. I'm not going to do any of that to anyone, because I don't want it done to me. But I am telling you that I have no doubt in my mind that Andrew is going to come back. And when I talk about the look in his eye, when I talk about the temperature of 107 of a fierceness, I am telling you that kid is a special kid. Special. He was born to do great things in the National Football League. And he will do great things in the National Football League, all right? I mean, that is coming from someone who's witnessed this thing for almost half a century, who was introduced to this game by Johnny Unitas by slapping me on the shoulder and say, son, move your ass, you know, in the training room. I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but I do have intuition, and I also would rather tell my fans the truth. If it was bad news, I'd like to tell them, I'd like to be the first to tell them, it's not bad news. It's damn good news. And let me tell you something, through this whole thing, the other quarterback we got to go with them, makes us a much better football team. Having the third pick in the draft is such a rarity for this franchise, and it's a great draft. Whether we trade the pick or keep the pick, it's a tremendous asset. If you really look at it, if you really look and see how many additional picks Chris is getting, you know, let's say you're in the third round and you want to move from 15 to 3 in the third round, okay? I mean, you're talking about, you know, maybe two-fourths or two-fourths and a fifth. I mean, the type of, you know, equity we have with this type of draft pick. And you have to remember, we were in every single football game we almost played this year. It was a very strange year. Yeah, you saw the same games I saw, you know. And it was quite an unusual season to be so damn competitive and close and let so many games slip away. We could have been one of the guys playing in the wild card weekend this week. I mean, that's how close we were, you know. But I tell you, I know, you know, you ask a good question because, look at, God rest his soul, Ron Meyer. He was one of the great, you know, great guys who, Mike Chappell knew him, and some of you guys had a chance to know Ron. You know, he had a car salesman aspect to him. He was just fun. And, you know, he would talk and be optimistic about a lot of different things. But I'm serious here, Greg, when I say this. I really, really feel, from all the information that I blend together from my nearly half a century of experience, you know, I feel he's going to be back. And he's going to be back for a long time, and he is going to write his name into the National Football League's history books in a very important way. You know, time will tell. I've been as shocked. If you told me, Greg, honestly, if you told me that he was going to miss the entire year, you know, last year, I would not have believed it. Wouldn't have believed it. Would not have believed you. But couldn't have believed. You know, it was a very, very incredible situation for us all to live through. And I give a lot of people in our organization credit for fighting and holding it together. And I want to thank our fans, because we had, you know, doing the wave on Sunday. I mean, we're obviously out of it and everything, but our fans celebrate a victory against Houston, and what great fans we have. And that's part of what this whole thing's about, being here in Indianapolis. So, you know, time will tell, but I'm sincere when I say that I believe he'll be back.
Chris,
last question, guys.
I know you hate hypotheticals, but can you move forward Regency, the draft, with the idea that Andrew will be back, or do you have to, I mean, how do you approach that?
Well, I mean, I've talked about this a lot, and I think you saw it during the season. We're going to continue to add competition everywhere. That will not change. And as for Andrew, we're just going to continue down the path. I mean, we were in a good place. Kid's in a good place. We'll start throwing here soon. I'm not putting an exact date on it, but we'll start throwing soon, and that's going to tell us a lot.
All right.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, guys.
Anytime you have Jim Irsay at a microphone, he gets pumped up, he gets excited, has a lot to say, and he had a lot to say today about this coaching search that is ahead of the Colts. I'm Caroline Can, joined by Matt Taylor. Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay addressing the media today about the coaching search that is ahead. Even got into a little bit of player talk there. A lot of talk about Andrew Luck, of course. But I thought the big ones, a lot of questions were kind of concerning this couple of reports coming out of how this search was going to be handled. And Jim Irsay saying it is completely Chris Ballard's decision. He will do a lot of the heavy lifting. He will go out. He already has this list, the short list that he likes, that he has kept his eye on. And he will start doing that and then bring the top candidates, or the top candidate, back to Jim Irsay.
Yeah, I think that was good from a hierarchy standpoint. Yep. I mean, Chris Ballard was brought in here for a reason, so let him do his job, right? Yep. Let him go out and evaluate talent, in this case, evaluate coaching talent. I thought it was really interesting to hear Chris say that there's not really a resume or a prerequisite that the next head coach has to have on their list of things they've accomplished. Doesn't necessarily have to be an NFL guy. Could be a college head coach, could be a college assistant coach. You know, there's not really a bar of number of wins right. that a guy has to have. So from that standpoint, it's kind of wide open. We're hearing names that are coming about. We'll get into those as we progress throughout this coaching search. But, yeah, Chris Ballard is going to be the main guy, and then he'll present those candidates to Jim Irsay, which he'll have to ultimately sign off on. But right. Chris Ballard is going to be the guy that has to feel good about the fit because, like he talked about, it's the head coach and GM. That's the most important relationship in terms of the front office when it comes to getting along and putting a football team together and trying to compete going forward.
I think another big question that was answered in this press conference was, you know, as soon as Chris Ballard was hired, there was rumors, there was reports, and really Jim Irsay wasn't shy about the fact that Chris was going to have the option to really just evaluate Chuck Pagano in the 2017 season and the both of them make that decision. And they said it was about week seven, that Jacksonville game when the Colts got shut out, that was the turning point in the decision-making, that they were going to start looking ahead without Chuck Pagano being the head coach. Now, that was week seven, yeah. And that's why I think there's a lot of emphasis. You heard Jim say it in the locker room after the game. You hear him say it again when he's talking to the media. Chuck continued to get this football team ready and continue to be motivated. That's 9 weeks left in the season when, in their minds, things started to shift and said, okay, I think in 2018, Chuck Pagano will not be the head coach.
Yeah, Chris Ballard kind of praised Chuck there, saying that he never lost the locker room despite a 2-7 start to the season, despite an 0-2 start to the season for the fourth straight year. Those guys continue to play hard for Chuck. But, yeah, when you lose to Jacksonville at home, it's the first time the Colts, I think, were blanked in the regular season since the 1993 season. It had been a while. The Colts set some negative milestones in that game. That was kind of the turning point for Jim Irsay, as he said. It was maybe the time in which he said, okay, maybe it's time to move on and go after another coach. But Chris Ballard was candid too, saying, we always, as talent evaluators, as GMs, we always have to have a short list of guys we want in case our coach walks or we need to move on from a coach. So I think that list, we're starting to see that list trickle out throughout the media. Again, we'll talk about that more as the week goes on, as next week progresses. Chuck was very honest, Chris was honest, saying, you know, again, there's going to be no prerequisite for guys that need to come in here that could be the next head coach of the Colts. He also reacted that it's not going to be something that we have to do right away. We don't right. have to do this very yeah. swift. We want to take our time and make sure we get this thing right because we want this guy, the next head coach, to be here for the next 5-10 years, however long Andrew Luck is here, winning Super Bowls and multiple championships.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too. They touched on the fact that the new head coach will have the chance to evaluate the current staff that is here. Well, those are the top topics from the press conference. We will have more news rolling out for you, but let's take a look right before we go to the 2018 opponents because the season is over. And this is who the new head coach for the Indianapolis Colts will have to face in 2018. The home and away, those will get out. But thank you so much for joining us, and we'll keep you updated throughout the search.